I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Bing Spittler. Bing is a strategic business partner with Profiles International, which is a global leader in psychometric assessments. And fraud and employee theft is really a growth industry. And the unfortunate truth is that many employers never think it will happen to them. They don't take the necessary steps to minimize the opportunity for fraud to occur. And often they think just because they have an audit or a review that that's good enough in detecting theft. And it's just not, is it?
No, it's not. The National Retail Federation in 2010 indicated that $33 billion a year are lost at retail due to employee theft. They also found that 60% of inventory theft is due to employee theft. So there's some big numbers there as far as theft is concerned.
Well, just imagine if those numbers that you just mentioned all drop to the bottom line, what a difference in a company's profitability that could make. It's a big financial issue.
Well, absolutely. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has indicated that 30% of all companies that file for bankruptcy do so because of employee theft.
You can go in and help identify tendencies for prospective employees so that an employer never hires the thief to begin with.
That's absolutely true. And really what we do is what is called pre-employment assessments. And these are simple but very highly technical behavioral assessments that reach into an individual and search out their core attitudes, knowing that a core attitude will manifest itself on the outside as behavior. If that is a negative core attitude on the inside, it could be interpreted as the individual will have negative behavior once they're hired and on the job.
So when someone comes along and is applying for a job, the employer puts one of these tests or assessments in front of them. The tendency to be a thief is apparent, and the employer chooses not to hire an employee for that purpose or on those grounds. I'm assuming that's legal?
It is legal, especially in a pre-employment type of an assessment. It becomes a requirement of the job. All candidates for employment for a job at that particular company are required to take this assessment. So therefore, there's no disparate impact on the candidate themselves. So therefore, it is legal. And most reputable companies will file for a legal brief from an attorney that specializes in labor law. In most cases, to have a good, strong, valid assessment, you want the response or the letter back from that attorney that basically says there is no adverse impact to your behavioral assessment questions or the instrument itself.
Are these assessments online or are they still written, or how do you go about giving an employee a tool like this?
You know, the technology that we've experienced in the last 10 years has been phenomenal. You're familiar with a cell phone and how much technology and has gone into a cell phone in the last several years. Well, the same thing has happened in the psychometric industry, and that is simply that our instruments, our validation, our tools that we use in order to reach inside of an individual have become so much stronger and better now.
If people want information on how to reach you, your contact is what?
It's thespittlergroup.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Bing Spittler. Bing is a strategic business partner with Profiles International, which is a global leader in psychometric assessments. And your company provides assessments to help organizations identify which potential candidates may have more tendencies for theft. How do employers react when you say to them, hey, I've got this tool you can use?
Crystal, that's a great question. And what we find is generally the first comment I get from an employer is, hey, I'm a good judge of character. The Society for Human Resources Management has indicated that the hiring decision is generally made in the first 4.5 minutes of a job interview. 4.5 minutes is not a long time to get a good read on who an individual is and whether or not they're going to be a good employee. Another point about this is that there are lots of groups around that teach candidates how to act, speak, and behave while going through an employee interview. This is called, in the academic environment, impression management. And psychologists tell us it really works, that it works on recruiters and managers, that you can finesse your way through an employee interview. And so I would come back and say, using a gut feeling or just having a good read of character, probably isn't very effective.
You also can provide other tools so that employers who may not have the time or really the knowledge as to how to identify a great employee, the next potential CEO of the company.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Profiles International is a global company. They are in over 100 countries around the world, and they have assessments in over 30 different languages. So they are a wide-ranging company. As a matter of fact, they have a whole suite of proprietary assessments mm-hmm. that meet the needs of business today. That might be a whole person assessment that mm-hmm. you might give to executives' hires.
Yes, but I also hear people that push back on those types of assessments. They say, well, if I'm the candidate, I know how to, I'm not going to answer a question, that they think that they can get past the test by answering the question the way it's supposed to be answered.
We've thought of that as well. There is a part of our assessments which is called a distortion scale, and we can measure the differences in responses of a candidate as far as their assessment is concerned. And if those differences become too great, we call them discrepancies, then that will show up as a distortion, or that the candidate really hasn't been candid in their responses to us.
If people want to learn more about you, Bing, and the company Profiles, what's the contact information?
If people have further questions, they can get to me through spittlergroup.com. That's my website.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guests today are Sister Jean Bissett. Sister Jean is the president of DePaul Cristo Rey High School, and with Sister Jean is Lisa Clater. And Lisa is the director of work-study program. DePaul Cristo Rey High School was just started recently, and it's not your traditional educational institution. Maybe you can share why this school is different.
That's correct. We follow a different business model, a unique business model for college prep high schools. We started in order to serve students who can't afford a traditional college prep high school, a private school. And the way that we're able to help our students afford it is they actually are working their way through high school. They participate from the day they start as 14-year-old ninth graders until they graduate in a corporate work-study program. They do clerical work typically in offices, white-collar jobs where they work side-by-side with college-educated professionals.
Back in 2009, you had no facility, no students, no anything, and you've created this amazing program. And Lisa, you are the director of the corporate work-study program. Maybe
That's
you can
correct.
Share a little bit further how this corporate work program works.
Well, when students enter our school right away, they're subjected to about 50 hours of training to get them ready for the workplace. You wouldn't typically expect a 14, 15-year-old to know how to shake hands, how to conduct themselves in a professional setting. So we spend a lot of prep time getting students ready for that. Then they begin school for 10 months, and part of that curriculum is to work one day a week in a corporate setting.
That's amazing. I mean, this is something that I think all young people could really learn from.
We're really part of a network of schools. So although we're starting this school from scratch in Cincinnati, and we are the 24th school in the United States that's following this work-study model in this Cristo Rey network.
Well, how has it worked out in other cities where it's
fabulously well? I mean, to the point where in cities after they've been doing this high school program and this work-study program for a while, they have companies coming to them not to hire one team of four students. There are companies, hospitals, law firms, that will hire 8, 9, and 10 teams of kids. And they find meaningful work for those students to do every single day of the week for 10 months.
Is this program open to any student? How do you go about participating?
There are a couple of requirements. One is you have to be eligible economically. This is a program that's for families that perhaps wouldn't have school choice options otherwise. Because we're not a tuition-driven school, there are some economic means tests that you have to pass. And you have to take the typical placement test for high school. But for anyone in Southeast Ohio and the greater Cincinnati area, we're certainly open.
And students have to be able to do a pretty traditional college prep course of studies. We are not a vocational high school, even though we have this corporate work study program. And our students have to be sincerely aspiring the best they can as a 14-year-old to want to go to college and finish it. We have about 80 students currently. We hope to have about 160 next year. We'll have freshmen and sophomores next year.
Okay, so this first right now we're just dealing with freshmen?
Correct.
Correct. And we have about 24 corporate partners right now that are hiring our students.
We already have 37 companies signed on for next year.
With education being such an issue, mm-hmm. do you see this type of program, this type of school, even going into the more traditional public schools?
Part of me would love to see that happen because I think it's great preparation for students going into careers and into professions. Part of me doesn't want it to happen because, honestly, I don't want them taking our market share.
Mm-hmm. Spoken like a true business person, Sister Jean. But if folks listening today would like more information, how can they learn more about DePaul Cristo Rey High School?
They can check our website at www.discoverdepaul.com or 513-861-0600.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Sister Jean Ann Bissett and Lisa Clater. And Sister Jean is the president of DePaul Cristo Rey High School, and Lisa is its director of Corporate Work Study Program. And ladies, we talked about the fact that so many different organizations here in our community are participating in this unique model, this school that's really not only an educational facility, but it's exposing young people at a very early age about being accountable, going to work, learning that there is a relationship between work and money, which is something, unfortunately, I think a lot of people in our society have never been able to put those two together. How do you feel that your students, you have freshmen this year, next
Correct.
Year you're hoping to get freshmen and sophomores.
Right.
Are you being able to see a difference in attitude for these children that are participating in the program?
Absolutely. The transformation already just from 9, 7 months that we've had contact with them since they started last June is amazing. They arrive every morning on time. They're learning what a work ethic is. They're learning, like you mentioned, accountability. They're learning how to finish a job that you start. We do evaluate the students 5 times a year on different traits.
And the students who actually are able to attend this, which unfortunately not every student can.
Correct.
But it's for more economically disadvantaged children who may not have had some of the role models.
Absolutely. We've had some of the feedback from our students this year. We had one young man, when somebody asked him what he does at work, he works at a CPA firm, and he was talking about his office tasks that he does every week when he works there, that what his daily ritual is like. And he said, actually, I do what my mother did before she lost her job. These kids are doing real life work that mm-hmm. somebody is going to do in a company.
Well, how wonderful it is for the business community to really take an active role in helping shape mm-hmm. the next generation of children before they even get out of high school. And if you can get a child excited about work, excited mm-hmm. about their future, mm-hmm. when they're still a freshman in high school, that's powerful.
Well, and Cincinnati is such a great co-op city with mm-hmm. that program starting in this country at the University of Cincinnati. Now I think most of the colleges and universities in the areas in this area have some kind of co-op. We're taking it 4 years sooner so that honestly when they get our kids into a co-op program in college, they're not going to have to do the kind of training that we hear they're doing right now even with college students.
Are you looking for more businesses to be able to work with for your students?
We are. We need about 10 more companies for next year. And actually, Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber just came on board as a partner for next year. So we are. We are interested in talking with more businesses that would like to hire a team of our students.
Are there any particular types of businesses? I'm assuming that you're looking for a variety of companies for children who have certain interests.
We're a little bit law light. We feel like we should, like the other Cristo Rey schools, have a lot of students placed in large law firms. CPA firms are perfect. Hospital settings, students do patient transport, but they can also do some clerical work in hospital offices.
And the commitment from the business partner is what?
They would hire a team of our students, which is a team of four, from August to June every year, and each student would work 1 day a week.
And for a full team of four students for 10 months of work, companies next year will pay $27,000. To our corporate work study program. We're the employer. We take care of all the paperwork, all the government stuff, all the insurance.
So if people listening today, business, or even a family who might be interested in getting their child enrolled in the school, how would they go about doing that, learning more?
They can. If a company is interested in hearing more about the program, please have them call me, again, at 861-0600 and ask to talk to the corporate work study program office.
Well, Sister Jean, Lisa Clater, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
And for everything that you're doing. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens.
I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, today our subject is going to be the same as one of our recent columns for the Inquirer, and that's what you should do when you get a notice from the IRS. You know, oftentimes you may get a letter from the IRS indicating that you owe them some amount of money.
That's right. You very rarely have I seen in my career notices when the IRS sends you something saying that, hey, by the way, you paid us too much. That just hasn't happened that often. So when you do get a notice from the Internal Revenue Service suggesting that you owe them additional money, don't panic and don't think that all of a sudden you're going to be audited. Often, the IRS actually just makes mistakes.
It's just as likely that they made a mistake as that you did or your accountant or tax preparer did. A lot of times when they put your information into their system, they may not have put it in correctly. So they may be missing a deduction that you took that somehow got separated from your return. There may have been income reported to them by another payor, you know, the 1099 type income. They don't see it matching up on your return. Doesn't mean it's not there. It's just sometimes if it's not very apparent, the IRS can't find it and they don't look very hard for it.
And sometimes people think that if, for example, if you have a loss on a sale of an investment and you did not include that on your tax return because you did not think that you had to since there was no gain, then they just don't report it. And all of a sudden, the IRS sees where the brokerage company reported that you sold stock or investments for this large amount of money that you didn't include on your tax return. And they assume that all of that is taxable income when it's actually not at all. So again, that's just one example of how the IRS may send you a bill saying that you owe X number of dollars and you really don't owe them anything.
And normally when you get a notice from the IRS, you have 30 days to respond. And you really need to respond within that 30-day time period. If you have a accountant or a tax preparer prepare your tax return, it relates to that. Send the notice to the preparer. Make sure that they take a look at it and that they can resolve the situation or that they will at least write a letter within that 30-day period. Because after that 30-day period, the notices only get a little more demanding.
And if you are in the unfortunate situation where you do owe the IRS money and you just don't have the funds to pay for it, all is not lost. You are also not the only person who owes the IRS money. With the economic downturn, certainly there are many people in that category. So earlier this year, the IRS announced something called the Fresh Start Initiative, which includes new policies that allow taxpayers to pay back taxes and avoid tax liens. So clearly, you don't want to just close your eyes and ignore the problem. You have to address the problem. There are options for you to take to minimize the pain that you'd otherwise have to suffer if you just don't face the reality of the taxes that you owe.
You can enter into an installment agreement if you qualify for one. You can do what's called an offer and compromise if you qualify for that. The important thing, though, is to respond to the notice and take action. Don't just ignore them and let the taxes and the interest and penalties accumulate.
You will also want to make sure that going forward, you take action so that you aren't in the same predicament. I know several people who have maybe multiple jobs. They have a day job and then perhaps evening job or weekend job. Because of the way that their withholdings are structured, they just don't have enough federal tax withheld. So make sure you take a look at that. And if you need to increase your withholdings, do so so that you're not in the predicament next year of having not enough money available to pay any additional tax that you owe. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your trusted business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Tom, something that unfortunately is on the rise is tax scams, fraud, that type of thing. And I'm actually very involved with Hamilton County Coalition to Stop Fraud, Scams, and Abuse. And this is an initiative that Hamilton County President Greg Hartman instituted a year or two ago to help county residents and really people in our region be more conscientious about people out there in our community that can harm them through fraud and scams and tax abuse.
In many cases, they utilize the preparation of the tax returns to do this. So supposedly, professional tax preparers will offer to prepare a tax return for a refund. They may give you excessive deductions, credits that you're not entitled to, in exchange for part of the refund.
The key here is you have to do your homework. Tax laws and the tax code have become so complicated, huge percentage of the people, a vast majority of the people use an outside preparer. So you just have to be sure that the one that you are using isn't a crook.
Look for someone who has a permanent establishment, hopefully a reputation, maybe somebody that you've got friends or colleagues that have used in prior years.
And look at their credentials. Take the time to do your homework. You can go on to the various state accountancy boards, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and see whether or not these people are licensed. Make sure you ask if they have a prepare tax identification number. This is a new requirement that the IRS is making of all people that prepare tax returns. And there are certain types of substantiation that have to be made available by the people who get these PTIN numbers, including continuing education, which is very important for your tax preparer to know the tax laws.
And the unfortunate truth is that if someone is going to use your tax information to help defraud the IRS that they're going to share with you, they're probably going to use your personal ID information to defraud you as well.
And with the technology so available, it's no wonder that there is an increase in tax schemes and tax frauds. Anyone who claims that they are going to be paid based on a percentage of your refund, turn around and walk away. That is absolutely not someone you want to do business with. Also, never, ever allow your refund to go into your tax preparer's account. What'll happen is they'll tell you that your refund's only $500, but then when they actually submit the return to the IRS, it may really be $2,000. They'll give you your $500 and keep the rest.
Yeah, so make sure that you control that process by getting the refund directly.
And never respond to an email that you receive that is supposedly from the IRS. It looks very legitimate. They'll talk to you about there's an issue with your return and it's going to hold up your refund if you don't respond. The IRS never, ever reaches out to taxpayers through email. They never initiate a contact that way.
And if they promise you refunds and say low income, no documents, tax return, that's another indication of fraud.
Bottom line, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And let me just give you another website you can take a look at. If you want to go to the Hamilton County website on this issue, it's just www.hamiltoncounty-co.org/fraud, or you can also call the IRS Criminal Investigation Unit at 513-263-3335 if you suspect fraud. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Today, our guest is Mary Hurlburt. Mary is the Community Outreach Coordinator for Lifespan Credit Counseling Services. Our subject today is something that, unfortunately, a lot of people have to deal with, and that is what happens if you've got a debt and you're trying to settle that, probably with a collection agency?
Yes, yeah, settling with the collection agency happens a lot this time of year. If there's a debt that's hindering your ability to move forward in life, if you're a business owner, it's going to be harder to get a loan. It's going to be harder to work with your own financial institution if this is sitting on your credit report. So if you've decided it needs to be paid and that settling is the way to go, this is a pretty good time of year to do it.
Well, and it's not unusual to have to deal with this, is it? Because it seems like large companies and even hospitals and organizations like that are very quick to turn over their receivables to collection agencies.
They are much quicker to turn them over today than they used to be.
Are they selling to these collection agencies? I mean, why do they turn it over so quick now?
They turn it over so quickly because hospitals are the ones that don't get paid. The medical mm-hmm. people are the last to be paid. And like everybody else, they need money. Mm-hmm. So this is the easiest way for them to get enough money to continue.
You say that this is a good time of year to try to settle with collection agency. Why is that?
This is the time of year when families have extra money in their pockets if they're getting a tax refund. So collection agencies are willing to talk debt settlement.
So there, you can negotiate with these people.
You can negotiate with a collection agency, yes.
Let's talk about something else, and that is this whole concept of student loans. So we have all of these young people out there today who were able to get so much in the way of student loans because they just were. They didn't have to have credit. They didn't have to have a job. But yet they were able to get student loans, many of which are government loans. You can't negotiate with those, right?
You cannot negotiate with those, and you cannot include your student loans in a bankruptcy. However, the government now is working on programs to help students repay those loans because many people took out $125,000 loans to work in professions where they're only going to make $25,000 a year.
If you are in a situation where you don't have a lot of cash, but you have loans, they're in collection, you know, what are some steps that you should do as you're trying to work through this process?
Okay, the very first thing is make sure that everything you hear is also in writing. Make sure the collection agency truly owns that account, because it may have been sold two or three times. Insist on proof that they own it, and that means they should also have a copy of your written contract. Make sure that you have in writing, if you send us $250, we will consider this account as paid in full. And then what I tell everybody from that point on, you staple the canceled check or whatever to your will, and you keep them together until you die, because those things have a way of reappearing.
Mary, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they contact Lifespan?
Okay, anybody that wants to get in touch with us can call me personally. My phone number is 513-476-6096.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Mary Hurlbut. Mary is an outreach coordinator with Lifespan, Inc., a credit counseling agency. This topic is very close to my heart and Tom's as well. We have a daughter who's a junior in high school, and we're doing the college search thing and exploring various colleges, and it is astounding to me what the price of college education is these days. Many people think that they can just fill the void or fill the gap in terms of the monetary need with student loans, but there's a lot of things people don't realize about student loans. Maybe they should know before they enter into them, isn't it?
Well, there are a lot. And the first thing is, I hate to say it, there are a lot of college students whose number one plan is, I will graduate and file bankruptcy on my student loans. That is not going to happen. You're not allowed to include them in student loans. The other thing is, a lot of students are getting for the private loans. Federal loans, the student is signing for those, and they need a co-signer. I can't tell you the number of grandparents I'm running into or who are co-signing for all of their grandchildren to go to college. And they don't understand that that means if the student can't find a job, can't repay that loan at all, that the grandparents may be responsible.
And you need to have a reality check as to look at college education as an investment. If you're borrowing the money for that investment, you know, don't borrow $100,000 to have a career that's going to pay you $25,000 a year, because you'll never be able to pay that loan back.
And if you think that you're going to go on to some kind of postgraduate work, don't use all of your money in one place. You don't want to use it all in the first 4 years. So you may want to think about choosing a college that you can afford.
Absolutely. There are a ton of PhDs and attorneys who will say, well, shoot, I'm paying two mortgages. My student loan payment and my mortgage payment are within $100 of each other. As far as age groups go, the younger people are suffering, believe it or not, even more than those of us that tend to be a little older, because we're holding on to our jobs.
Why do you think it's so easy for a student to get a federal student loan when you can't even get a credit card?
I'm not sure what the government thinks about it, but the fact is, higher education pays off. You're going to, especially when the economy was good, if you graduated from college, you knew you would be making more money than the average high school graduate was. So why not give them money?
Thank you so much. Again, if folks would like more information on Lifespan and get in touch with you, what's your information, your contact information?
Just call me directly. The number is 513-476-6096.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Lee Robinson. Lee is the president and founder of Robinson Sotheby's International. Lee has been a longtime realtor in the greater Cincinnati area, including Northern Kentucky. And Lee, recently, actually in the last couple of years, you have affiliated with Sotheby's, which is an international realtor association. How has that helped you, and how do you help your customers more because of that affiliation?
Oh, it's been great for us. It's the brand that has been an international real estate firm for almost 50 years now. Now, the company started 277 years old as a high-quality auction gallery. Mr. Sotheby's had a passion for handwritten manuscripts, and it kind of went from there into fine antiques and artwork. But they branched out into the real estate world, and it's a significant organization globally. And for us, it's a great connection because there's a lot of international companies, and there are certain ways of doing business in different parts of the world that are not akin to Cincinnati's way. So it's really good to be able to connect with those kinds of, and it's just super high quality.
So does Cincinnati get many international buyers?
We don't get as many as we used to. Of course, you know, the Procter & Gambles and General Electrics. And, you know, I the airport's obviously going to be a negative influence for us going forward. But, you know, that momentum's probably just starting up compared to where we've been. It's the economy that slowed most of the transferees. It's very expensive for either domestic or international companies to transfer people. But interestingly enough, there's more international buyers now than there have been because the United States is seen, as frequently it is, as a sort of a safe haven for investment. And now that the U.S. economy has been relatively weak for a number of years, a lot of international buyers, and I'm speaking Europeans, Asians, South Americans, are finding the United States a really good target. And there's certain cities that they like better than others.
Well, and I'm hoping that some of the work with the Jobs Ohio program and the whole effort to get more companies to come to Ohio to invest might include international companies who want to locate in the state, which may bring with it people, obviously, who want to buy here.
Absolutely. Lifestyles in this sort of Midwestern region, if you will, are very affordable, and the housing stock is incredible compared to, you know, where else you might find it. But when international buyers are shopping, we know from online tracking, as an example, that their biggest target is Florida, and I bet you can't guess the second state that they go for.
California?
Good guess. It's Arizona, actually. And California comes in fourth behind Nevada as number three. And unfortunately, Ohio's not on the top 10 at the moment, but hopefully soon will be.
Lee, what are some of the trends, though? You know, it's interesting. We had someone on not so long ago, and the whole idea of animals and pets. Are you finding more and more people want to have homes that accommodate their pets, their animals?
It's interesting you ask, Crystal, because I was recently reading in Japan where they have architects that are specializing in pet-friendly homes and the design of them.
Lee, we're out of time today. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow talking about some of the trends in real estate. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Lee Robinson. Lee is the president and founder of Robinson Sotheby Realtors. And Lee, I know that you specialize in real estate, residential real estate, but you also do some commercial, correct?
Yes.
Is it a good time for people who are looking to make investments in multifamily units to do so?
I think it's ideal for a lot of reasons. Certainly one is the interest rates are very, very attractive. Not to say that everybody can get a loan easily, but if you can get a loan, the rates are going to be relatively low. They're going to be in the 4% range on fixed rates for an investor. It's lower, of course, for an owner-occupant. Basically, what's been going on in the last few years is that rents have been going up, and that connected with the low interest rates allow a lot of these buildings to perform economically in a superior way.
Is that driving the values of these buildings up?
You know, we're not really seeing values going up because it's not huge numbers yet of investors returning into the real estate world. We're seeing kind of the smart money coming back and have for the last year. I suspect we're going to see a lot more of that. We're having a lot of international customers coming into that part of the marketplace with great enthusiasm.
Well, it's really a lot easier to justify your purchase of investment real estate now, isn't it? Because it used to be you had to build in a little bit of appreciation for right. the investment to make sense. But now, you know, it can cash flow almost immediately.
And I remember, Lee, when we talked years ago, I remember these words you told me very specifically as advice, as an advisor to us. You either look for cash flow or appreciation, and now it seems you may be able to get both.
That's true. Not too many years ago, if you bought in a AAA location, you weren't going to get cash flow because the prices of the property and the cost to own it, i.e. interest rates particularly, just weren't going to get you there, and you had to bank on the historic appreciation. Well, guess what? Historic appreciation's mm-hmm. out the door. So buyers aren't going to pay those prices any longer. They're going to have some cash flow or some other incentive.
What would you say folks should be really looking at if they're considering making a real estate investment?
There's a few considerations to make before you come to that determination. And one of them is, are you going to self-manage? If you're going to self-manage, then convenience might enter into that equation. And what type of property? Is it going to be high maintenance or low maintenance type of property? And what kind of turnover would you anticipate with the typical renter for that type of property? As an example, if it's in a location that attracts a younger renter, or if the housing stock, the rental units are such that it's probably going to be younger, you have to be prepared for a lot more turnover than if it's geared for a more mature set. So those will be differences. And then, if you're going to hire a property manager, that then takes much of that off your shelf. And now you look at the investment more in true financial measure rather than in personal effort measure. It's like anything. It's not one size fits all. It's, what are the criteria of that particular client? You know, much like a financial investor would be, real estate is complicated in a lot of ways. And so we just have to determine what's the right thing.
And if people want to reach you at Robinson Sotheby's, how can they do that?
They can call our office at 513-321-6000, and we'd be thrilled to help.
For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.